Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Good to me, and a lot better than I deserve. And if we'll be honest, he all just left me where I was, let me die and go to hell, and he'd have been justified in doing that. But I thank God that he loved me. I don't know why he loves me. I fail him so much. I mess him up so much. Even as a pastor, boy, I ain't what I should be. But boy, he's faithful. Always faithful. And you can count on him. I'm going to be in the book of John tonight in chapter number 5. And while you're turning, I'm going to be real honest with you. I would just soon preach something else. And if I was going to preach tonight what I want to preach, we'd be over in Book of Matthew or whatnot, and we'd chatter out a little while. Is that okay? But Lord really burdened my heart on this morning, and I believe I'm right where I'm going to be. Now, don't get nervous. I've not come to shear no sheep. That's the pastor's job, amen? That's for what he's done. But I do want to come to challenge you tonight. We are talking to the Sunday night crowd, and if I can be real honest, the Sunday night, Wednesday night crowd, that's really the basis of your church. And folks that care enough to come back. And so I'm not getting lost on who I'm talking to tonight. But on the same hand, I do want to be obedient to the Lord. And I want to give you what's on my heart. If you'll stand to your feet, John chapter 5. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 down to around verse 7. The Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue, somebody help me say that, Bethesda. I've been practicing that all day and I can't get it down. Bethesda, having 5 porches, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he'd been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. If you'll go with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I sure need your help tonight. Father, Lord, I ask you, Father, to put your hands upon us. Lord, I need you, God. I'm nervous. Lord, God, I pray that you get the nerves out of me. And Lord, I'm going to preach, Lord, Father, I believe what you want me to. And I ask you, Lord God, to hide me behind Calvary, Lord, tonight. Let the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, preach through me. Lord, let them not see man. But Lord, there's a reason you want this preached. So, Holy Ghost, do what you do, Father. Work it in the hearts and lives. And Lord, just for a while, I ask you, Lord God, to bind every demon and devil of hell, Lord God, away from this place. Give us liberty, Lord, Father. Lord, if there's one lost, I pray that you save them. And if there's one backslid, Lord God, I pray that you draw them home, and we'll give you the honor and glory for all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I do still follow the live feed, and I know, Brother Jonathan, I guess it was, what, about 2 weeks ago you dealt with this, maybe. Maybe it was last Sunday. I don't know. But I want to give you something a little different if I can. And he preached with salvation, on salvation. And I say amen. There's a great picture of that too. But as I was preaching, I'll be honest with you, I got up this morning at church, and that was my intent. I was going to preach not the same message, but along those same lines. And the boys, I got going. God really got to working in my heart. And I just left my outline, tried to follow the Lord. And I'm going to do the same tonight. So y'all pray for me. I just want to give you what's on my heart. And I want you to see. Now, first of all, let me say this. He's the pastor. If I say anything that's different, I don't believe I am. You go with him, all right? That's who you go with. And let me just say this too. Verse number 4, just because I want you to know where I stand, preacher. I want to give you my commentary on it. I was studying this, and I'll be honest with you, it about made me sick. Everybody I'd read after is trying to explain away verse number 4. Well, let me give you the commentary on verse number 4. You ready? Look here. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. There it is. It's right there in the Bible. You say, do you believe that happened? I just believe the Bible. Amen. I believe at a certain time, an angel came. Pumped down, troubled that water, and when somebody, listen, it don't matter to me if there's minerals in that water. I'm not looking about some rising of the tide there that they would talk about. Listen, tell you what happened. An angel come down, troubled that water, and if you got in it, you got healed. Amen? Now, that's important for us to deal with, what I want to deal with tonight. I want to preach on this thought tonight there in verse number 7. Notice what he says. The impotent man answered the Lord. Now, look what he said. Sir, I have no man. How pitiful is that? Somebody that's trying to get in a pool, somebody needs help, he looks up and he says this, sir, I have no man. Now listen, I want to say this morning, I'm glad I had a man. And I don't mean the Lord Jesus, I know that, but I'm glad, Brother Jonathan, I had a pastor as a young man who stood by the pulpit, he preached the word of God, he didn't change, he preached it straight. And then there was a time when I was convicted that I come out of that aisle. I'll tell you what, I was trying to get into a pool, and I'm glad there was a man right there that take a Bible and show me how to call upon the name of the Lord. And how sad it is in a place like Jerusalem that this man has no man. I want to preach again on this thought. Listen, sir, I have no man. In other words, I want you to see the metaphor of our scene tonight. The metaphor of it. I want you to see now they're at the sheep market, which is the sheep gate. And Brother Jonathan dealt with this very good the other day. I'll not labor it long, but that's where all the sacrifices would come coming through. That's where all the offerings were going to come through. No doubt the Passover lamb walked right through that sheep gate, hey, to get to them. I want you to see it. Say that pool of Bethesda. That's a pool of mercy, or some say a pool of flowing water. But there's also 5 porches there. Now I know 5 is the number of grace, and I say thank God for that. But can I say there's also a 5 that's real important to the Jews? And that's that 5. That's that book of the Pentateuch. Those 5 books that Moses wrote, had that written down. And boy, Jews, friend, really looked up to that book. And they look up to Moses. And then I find a pool, man. How you look at that word, and it really means this. It's a pool for diving, or a swimming hole, or a reservoir. That's something for, in other words, just a big place of water. And now I want to give you a picture right here. I believe what you see today is you've got the idea that that pool is none other than a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me explain myself, bear with me. Right before in John chapter number 4, when he's standing there with that woman at the well, he looks over at her and he said, if you'd ask me, I'd give you a well of water springing up to everlasting life. And can I say though, as a type, I believe that is the Lord Jesus. Now, I understand that he enters the scene in around verse 6 or so, but I don't want to get right there yet. I want to preach a different application tonight. What I want you to see is this place is a religious place. It's full of religion. They've got sacrifices. They've got ordinances. They've got tradition of men. They've got porches. They've got the law. That's what that 5 porches can be a picture of. They've got the law to go by. They've got their scripture. But the truth of the matter is they're overlooking the pool. Nobody really sees the pool. Nobody's really getting in the pool. Only a few, Brother Castle, on a certain season, hey, can get in that pool. Everybody else is missing it. You say, preacher, where you going? Just bear with me just for a minute. I see the metaphor. I see the multitude in this scene. I see there's a great multitude of impotent folk. Now, right here, they're laid around. That word impotent means to be weak and feeble and without strength and powerless. I see they're blind. They're halt. That means lame and crippled. And they're withered. Now bear with me right here. These is a group of folk now that's laid up and they're withered. You know what that word withered means? It means that the body is deprived of their natural juices. Listen to what I'm trying to say today. This is my picture, if you'll let me preach it. What I'm trying to get at is this. You've got a religious crowd. You've got a religious that they've got everything, ordinances, they've got sacrifices. They've got a good case of religion, but they've got a whole bunch of withered up folk. They got a whole bunch of folk that that has lost the juices. Let me put it down where rubber meets the road, can I? I'm afraid sometimes, even in independent fundamental Baptist churches, I'm telling, we got a whole lot of real religion. We know when to say amen. We know when to raise your hand. We know when to shout. But the truth of the matter is, I'm seeing, even in my own church, friend, I see people sitting around and they're withering away because they really ain't got the pool. Listen to what I'm saying. I believe they're saved. I believe they got it, but they've got away from the pool, friend. Now listen to what I'm saying to you tonight. I'm trying to make application. I want you to see, if you're withered up and the juices is gone, you know what you need? You need to get rehydrated. And for everything I can find out, it just blew my mind. When they dug up this pool, that was a pool of five porches, and from everything I understand, it was a rectangle area, and then there was a wall right between it that made the pool kind of two separate pools. That's five porches. Now, there's five books in the Law of Moses, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Is that right? Well, Leviticus is the middle book. And in Leviticus, if you let me just preach it like this, if I'm wrong, you tell me to sit down. But I believe in Leviticus, that's that middle book of that Pentateuch. And in Leviticus, you see the Jesus as the meat offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the meal offering. He's the trespass offering. And that's in Leviticus where you find out that life is in the blood. What I'm trying to say, it's in Leviticus that you see his sacrifice and they see who he is. And you've got a whole bunch of Jews getting around this place, getting around with the law, getting around in religion, but they can't see the Lord for who he is. Now hear me out. We got a whole bunch of independents the same way. And I ain't trying to be mean to you tonight. I hope you know that I love you. But we're missing it. I'm going to be short tonight, I promise you. I want you to see the missing of the scene right here. They've got sacrifices, they got offering, they got law, and they're at a pool of mercy. But ain't nobody getting mercy. Only a few, Brother Jonathan's getting in that pool. I mean, Brother Castle, you look back in the Old Testament. I mean, David saw who that pool was. Jeremiah saw who that pool was. Elijah saw who that pool was. I'm telling you, Joshua saw who the pool was. Joshua, all them great leaders, Moses, saw who the pool was. Abraham saw who the pool was. They knew what it was about. They knew what it was pointing to. They knew a Savior, and that's why they were so effective. But the truth is, 99% of the Jewish people never saw the pool. They never had a relationship. They had a whole lot of religion, but they never had a relationship. And can I say to you, I hope I'm all right, Pastor. Listen, what burdens me is these folks come into Southside and, man, they get saved and God helps them and they get in for about 2 or 3 months and then the next thing you know, they miss one Sunday night service and they miss a Wednesday night service and then you can't find them. FBI's out looking for them and they can't figure out why their life is a mess. They can't figure out why their family is going haywire. Let me tell you why. They've abandoned the relationship. They've got away from the pool, friend. I'm going to tell you what I'm preaching tonight. I'm preaching about a dead religion. Can I say to you, friend, listen to me now. I don't want to be dead. And if you'll realize, if you'll study this chapter out, you'll find out the Lord rebukes them from this. Matter of fact, if you'll go into chapter number 5, but in verse 30 and verse 40, he tells them to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. He's talking to a bunch of Pharisees. He's talking to a bunch of Jews. He said that same Bible you hold up, you're looking at it and you're reading it. It's telling you about me, and you're not getting a hold of what's being said. Got a dead religion. He goes on and says this about Moses. He said in verse 45 and 46, he said, do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? There's one accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They've got religion. They've got everything God's given them, and they're missing the pool. Now, here's where I'm going to start preaching. I'm going to be done quick. Are you ready? Here it is. I've said all that. Like Brother John said, I'm going to build a big foundation, put a little house on it. You ready? Here it is. Look at the sadness. Look at the sadness in this scene. Look at verse number 5. Now, the picture has come from a big picture to a multitude of folks down to a certain man. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he'd been a long time in that case. And he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered unto him, said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Listen to what I'm about to say. They got a whole lot of religion right there. And they got a man. I can just see it. I don't know that it happened this way, but you don't know that it didn't, okay? Just bear with me. What I see is this man who's been there 38 years, and he wants nothing else in his life than to be able to walk, to be able to live a normal life, to be able to do something. And all he knows is religion. That's all he knows. He don't know the pool. He don't know all that the Lord can bring to his life. He just knows religion. He just knows sacrifices. He just knows the sheep gate. That's all he knows. But he's got a glimmer of hope in verse number 7 or verse number 4. At a certain time, that the angel's going to touch that pool. And if I can get to that pool, it's going to get better. If I can get to that pool first, I can walk. If I can get to that pool, I can be normal. If I can get there, I can get delivered. And I can see him sitting there, Brother Stan, because I believe he's been there before. And I'll be all swinging my mind, Brother Jonathan. I think he sees, he knows exactly where that angel's going to come from. He's got his eyes set. He's got his eyes looking on it. And at the very twinkle or whatever happened, he starts a crawling. I don't believe he's getting up walking because he's got a bed. Somebody say amen. I can almost see him army crawling. Everything he's got, he's trying to get in that pool. He's got what's them things called out of wood? Help me now. Splinters all in his hands. His nails is tore up. He's scratched up. You know why? Because he is trying to get to the pool. He's almost there too, Brother Staff. He can almost smell that water. I'm telling you, that mineral coming out of it. He's about to get in. But then about that time, here comes a man full of dead religion. And ain't got, obviously he's better off than he is. You know how I know it? Because he stepped in. Amen. He walked over, just stepped right over him, gets in that pool, and then there lays that man. He's got no hope, he's got no help, and he's in the same place he always was. Now hear me out tonight. I'm telling you what my burden is tonight. I'm afraid as independent fundamental Baptists, we get so busy being busy. I believe we get so busy trying to do good things that we miss the great thing. And if we ain't careful, preachers, listen to me. Let me tell you what'll happen. I think a preacher ought to study before he preaches. Amen. I believe a pastor ought to be ready when he spouts the pulpit. I believe that. I believe you ought to pray and take care of his family. I believe you ought to do things for people. But he's got to have a time that he goes by the pool or he's going to get withered up. Hey, church member, listen to me. Hey, you're not going to stay with it. If all you've got's a Sunday morning religion, if all you've got's a one time a week religion, listen, you're going to dry up, you're going to wither away, and then you know what happens with a dead religion? You become a selfish religion. This man walks over to the pool. I'm going to tell you, listen, if that was my boy, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be screaming, somebody pick him up. Somebody help him. Somebody get him. I'd be honest with you, if that was my boy, I'd pick him up by his britches. I'd drag him there, and I'd shoot anybody that got in the way. Somebody say amen. I'd get him in the pool, friend. All right, now let me ask a question to you. When's the last time you handed out a Bible tract? When's the last time you went soul winning? When visitation was called, where was you at? Hey, why ain't you here knocking on doors? You say, but preacher, I've got something to do. Hey, well, put that something aside. I'm telling you, there's folks out there dying and going to hell, and all we know to do is come to church and sit on a pew and shout it out, and we don't do nothing. James said, if you want to know my faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. And I'll tell you what scares me, and I see it in my own church. I'm going to be honest with you. If you want me to be real honest, Brother Robert, I see it in my own life. That I've got away from God, and next thing you know, I get selfish, and it's about me. It's about what God's going to do for me. What God's going to give me. I mean, God, I'm sacrificing for you. I'm doing all the things right. I'm living right. God, what about me? When am I going to get mine? When am I going to get help? That's what it's about. And the whole time I'm feeling that way, I've not got in the pool. And there's folks that's lame. And there's folks that's blind and halted that need to get in the water. But the truth is, all I can see is me. You know what I hear, Brother Jonathan? I'm looking for a church that'll be good for my family. I want to take my young and get a youth group that's good for my family. Let me help you. Can I help you just a minute? This thing ain't about what the church can do for you. It's about what you can do for the church. See, if you got that attitude, you've already went dry. You've already got withered up. You've already backed away. Am I all right? Listen, you're backing off there and you went and you ain't got the pool. You've lost sight of the pool. God help us that in Surrey County it'd be a man that would say, I have no man. I have no man. But can I be honest with you? I got them in my family. Can I be real honest? I've got family that I love that's going to die and go to hell. And ask me how many times I visit them like I should have. Ask me how many times I've showed up at their house with a Bible under my arm and a pocket tract in my hand and saying, looky here, I love you, and you're going to die and go to hell. Is that my all right? Can I help you just a minute? Listen to me. I'm talking about a man that said, sir, I got no man. I was so glad when I got saved at Austin Baptist Church, I'd have been sitting about right there. And when I turned the corner, I believe I got in, Brother Jonathan, about right here. Amen. But when I turned the corner and I was getting to that pulpit, thank God there was a man with a Bible that wanted to show me how to get in the water and tell me how to be saved and what I had to do. Listen, friend, don't let nobody say, I ain't got no man. I ain't got no man. What is this all about if we're not winning souls? What is this all about if we're not witnessing to somebody? What is this thing about? I mean, what is, listen, can I be real mean just a minute? Can I? What is it if you've been saved for 2 years, 3 years, and never led somebody to Christ? It ain't because you ain't had the opportunity. It's because you ain't went and found somebody lost. You say, but preacher, Jesus come to that man. Preacher, Jesus got there. Oh, yes, but if I read my Bible right over in Colossians, he's called the hope of glory in me, Christ Jesus. Amen. If I read my Bible right in Romans there, he said those that have the Spirit of Christ are his. Amen. Can I say he's living on the inside of me, and these folks wilted and died and going to hell, and God help us not to get them to the pool. I wonder how many people we've stepped over. Wonder how, can I be honest, what scares me? Matter of fact, if you want to start playing, I'm going to hush. I think, you know what bothers me most, Brother Jonathan? It didn't used to do this, but boy, it does now. Youngins, listen to me. There's coming a day. I want y'all youngins to hear me right here. Because if I could go back time and I could change some things, I'd change some things. But there's some boys that I like and there's some boys I love because I wanted to do my own thing for a while. And I didn't want to go by the pool and do like I ought to do. I just had a veneer religion. I didn't live in front of them like I should have. I didn't witness to them like I should have. And I doubt in my mind I'm going to be at the white throne judgment one day, not getting judged but watching everything. And they're going to call one of them boys' names. He's going to step up there and he said, boy, why didn't you tell me about this Jesus? Why didn't you tell me about that pool? Why didn't you tell me, friend, that there was something I could do? All right, I've been in hell. I've been burning. I need help. You wasted your time. I'm afraid there's going to be blood all over my hands. You said that can't happen. I'll be in heaven. No, they don't wipe no tears away until after all that's done, friend. I believe I'm going to have blood. I'm going to have to answer for on my hands. I really believe that. I believe there's going to be people that's gone to hell because God told me to take them a Bible tract and I was more worried about getting to lunch than getting to them. Am I all right? Or I was more worried about a ball game. Or I was more worried about going to that soul winning. If he calls soul winning Thursday night, you ought to cancel your plan and get there, friend. Can I help you tonight? Lord, I don't want to see no men call out in Sherry County. I don't want to see nobody in Yakin County. I don't want nobody around Southside Baptist Church to say I have no man to get me in that pool. I have no man. Boy, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. I've got a responsibility to go get men. And I just want to come to you, a simple challenge is this. Are we caught up in a whole lot of religion? I'm not saying you're lost. I believe a lot of you are saved. But I believe you can do like I did. And you can get away from that pool. You can get caught up in traditions. You can get caught up in going to church. That's what grandma does. You can get caught up in doing this, doing that, because you ought to. Can I be honest with you? I believe you can pray and not have your heart in it. I believe you can pray and have your mind somewhere else. You know how many times I've laid down, tried to pray, kneel down there, and I got my mind thinking about something that's going on in my life. I ain't getting nobody the well that way. Church, I'm closing right here. Listen, these people all over the country, you're going to go to college, you're going to go to school, all over the place saying, I need to get to that pool. I need to get to that pool. That's a glimmer of hope, friend. And boy, let them not look back and say, I ain't got no man. I ain't got nobody to show me. What good is your life? Listen, I'll be honest with you. What good is it if we're not going to get souls? What good is it to have a church? Now, I love y'all. Y'all know that. And I want to build a church this big. Amen. What good is it to have a church of 200 people and not win no souls? What good is it to go preaching and studying and if we ain't going to win no souls? What good is it, friend, to live for Christ, to have standards, and to live the way God wants us to if we're not going to get souls? Can I say, let's not be dead in religion. But let's be like a Lord. Let's take Him with us. And when a man gets to crawling, see, he had a desire. You'll find it funny that you'll get to praying to help somebody, to see somebody saved, and God just let you cross paths with somebody got a desire to get saved. Let them not look up and say, I have no man. My boy, if they look up and see your hand there, ain't that what we want? Church, here's a challenge. Let's go get somebody. I believe the Lord come back like now. But until He does, we ought to get them all in that we can get in.